This is Scams and Cons News with Jim Grinstead.
In today's news, that piece of paper under your windshield wiper may be a scam, not a parking ticket. Casino workers were targeted in a scam that netted $700,000, and Canadian women are far more willing to report scams than men. But we begin with a story from ProPublica, which says it may have found the person responsible for tricking Instagram into kicking influencers off the service. Its report says that it found OBN, who also goes by an OBN Brandon and Branded, has prompted Meta, Instagram's owner, to ban an array of influencers and entertainment figures. In an article OBN wrote for Facts.com last year, OBN dubbed himself as the Logout King because, quote, "I have deleted multiple celebrities and influencers on Meta and Instagram," end quote. He goes on to say, "I made about $300,000 just off banning and unbanning pages." The story continues, alleging that OBN exploits weaknesses in Meta's customer service, since anyone can report an account for violating the company's standards. The company gives leverage to people who are able to trick it into banning someone who uses Instagram for income. In some cases, he creates duplicate accounts in his target's names, then reports the original account as imposters so they'll be barred from violating Meta's ban on account impersonation. OBN has posed as a Meta employee to persuade at least one target to pay him to restore her account. In some cases, the hacker takes the money, opens the site, then days later closes it down, demanding more money. Meta says it's investing more cash into account security and increasing the ability of users to talk to a real human being instead of a bot. A casino cage scam is costing millions of dollars through social engineering. A supervisor at the Four Winds Casino in Michigan walked out with $700,000. WOOD explains.
Police are saying that a casino supervisor walked away with the money after receiving a phone call. This happened weeks after the gaming industry warned casino operators about a phone scam aimed at workers. According to an alert from Nevada's Gaming Control Board, scammers pose as high-level casino executives. They call employees and convince them to break internal security protocols to deliver the cash off-site. The largest known incident netted scammers with $1.1 million in cash. On July 13th, the National Indian Gaming Commission issued a similar alert, warning employees to be aware of that scam and know what to do in case of a similar call. Well, about 3 weeks after that alert, Four Winds cage supervisor Danica Young allegedly walked away with $700,000 in cash after receiving a phone call. Young allegedly delivered the money to an unknown person in Gary, Indiana. The cash has still not been recovered. Young has been charged with embezzlement. Detectives say the investigation into the missing money is ongoing.
Scammers have found a way to steal gasoline from station pumps. NBC Philadelphia tells us how it's done.
Well, this is probably something that has happened to a lot of people. Someone comes up, offers to pump your gas, and well, you may be tempted to accept the help. But police in Lower Merion are telling you to say no, and if not, you could become the next victim of a scam called pump switching.
It's a scam targeting drivers filling up at the pump.
Somebody will linger by gas pumps and wait for the customer to be done, walk up and say, "I'll put that away for you," or be very, very insistent and kind of take the handle out of their hand. And
Lower Merion police putting out this warning and telling people to be aware of anyone offering to help fill up your tank.
I will give them some money. I will give them like $1, $2, $3, $5, but they would have money, but I would not allow them to touch the pump.
Where the scam comes in is that instead of ending the sale, the scammer will pump for other drivers, then ask for cash, all on your dime.
Or someone who pulls up to a gas pump and someone says, "Give me $20 and I'll put gas in your car," you're participating in this. Nothing's free.
Police say these scammers, who usually are young, also can be aggressive and don't take no for an answer when they ask you for help. Sometimes they even just physically take control from you.
Well, if someone was to do that to me and I caught them, it would be very bad. It would be immediate reaction because you don't take from people.
To try to avoid becoming the next victim, police say you should always end your transaction, hang up your own nozzle, and get a receipt.
It's really scary, and it always makes me worry for older, like, people, like, the phone scams. It just makes me really sad, and it's just sucks that that's what our world has come to.
This is Scams and Cons News. A Better Business Bureau report says that Canadian women are more than twice as likely to report a scam than men. That's 63.5% to 36.5%. The women were reporting sweepstakes and lottery scams, phishing scams, employment scams, online purchase scams, and advance fee scams. The Bureau says the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center estimates that Canadians report only 5 to 10% of actual fraud cases, meaning that the actual impact of fraud is much larger than they know. If you live in Georgia, hang on to your money. A new Forbes report says Georgia is the state where financial scams are the most prevalent, with 437 fraud reports for every 100,000 residents during the first quarter of 2023. South Dakota is the least affected by financial scams, with 132 fraud reports per 100,000 citizens. The state with the greatest number of financial scams is California, not surprising considering its size, followed by Florida, New Jersey, and Texas before landing again in Georgia. Imposter scams emerged as the most common method of fraud in the United States, with 178,000 incidents reported during the first quarter of 2023. Vermont ranked highest for imposter scams, with the schemes accounting for 47.3% of the state's roughly 840 fraud reports. While Vermont has the highest number of imposter scams, Georgia has the fewest. Utah ranked highest for investment-related scams, accounting for 4.4% of the state's nearly 3,800 fraud reports. If that piece of paper under your windshield wiper looks like a parking ticket, take a close look at it. If it contains a QR code, that code may take you to a fake website that looks real, but it collects your credit card information and other data so they can pick your pocket. If you have concerns about whether the ticket is real, call the police department's non-emergency number and ask for help. They can direct you to someone who can verify whether it's real or not. And credit a South Dakota furniture store for blocking a scam targeted at a woman with dementia. Here's KTIV-TV to explain.
Yeah, they went deep enough to find out that the woman had dementia, that she lived in Yankton, and because she didn't have a car, the scammers need to actually call a taxi to take her to the bank and other stores. And the primary scammer, who called himself David, even paid her phone bill one time because he knew he needed to keep her phone on to keep the scam going. To the scammer, it was likely a return on investment.
That you would get a
Barbara Stolliger raced from her home in North Fork, Nebraska to Yankton, South Dakota. She'd just gotten word her estranged sister, Sharon Biscardi, had been involved in a scam. But Stolliger had no idea just how much money her sister had lost.
I would guess easily $10,000, but I don't know how long this has been going on.
The scam was stopped by an unlikely hero. Another dude, but this one a furniture salesman in Yankton.
The weeds in the yard were overgrown, and it looked like a rundown house from the outside.
David Stiebrel says he got a seemingly normal call from the scammer. And when he entered the home, things also seemed normal at first.
Walked through numbers with her. She would always say, well, let me call David. Let me call this other person I had not met yet, who was not there present in the conversation.
Stiebrel then picked up on Biscardi's mental health issues, and the story got weirder.
He claimed that he worked for Mega Millions, and that was consistent with her story. But almost everything else that she had told me about him didn't match what he told me about himself. So that was a huge red flag.
Now, Stiebrel could have easily walked into the home, got quotes for all the different furniture, including this exact table, and sold it. That is his job after all, but he didn't do that. Once he got in contact with the family, they were all able to sit down and figure out just how pervasive this scam was. Stolliger has spent months investigating the scam against her sister, and she's found real people involved here in the U.S. Biscardi sent a check to a woman in Texas. Wells Fargo told Stolliger the woman actually walked into the bank to deposit the check. Another scrap of paper in Biscardi's home referenced a name and address of a man in Wisconsin. A search of public records shows the man does live at the address the scammers wanted the check sent to.
And finally, Biscardi sent a money order to a woman in Colorado. And now, the South Dakota Attorney General's office has asked police in Colorado to interview that woman. Perhaps most shockingly, Stalker called the number for the scammer a few weeks ago. And to her surprise, David answered.
He picked up the phone and said, "Sharon?" And I said, "No." And he said, "This must be her sister." And I said, "Yes, it is. It is."
Stalker provided us with emails that show the South Dakota Attorney General's office is investigating the case. For his part in stopping the scam, Stiebrel doesn't want any clout. But he does want Siouxlanders to look out for one another.
This is Scams and Cons News.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
You're listening to Stop the Killing podcast. Join us as we take you behind the crime scene tape to explain global mass shootings and mass attacks. I'm Sarah Ferris, but more importantly, this is Catherine Schweitz, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
I spent 5 years as the FBI's top executive looking for answers to the mass shooting crisis. I've been at the shooting scenes, I've traced heroic acts of bravery, and I've sat silently and listened to the heart-wrenching stories from survivors.
Amongst this horror, there is hope. We all hold the key to stop the killing. You just need to know how to unlock the door. Download Stop the Killing and be part of the solution. Search Stop the Killing on Apple, Spotify, and all the usual suspects.